then you're not going to start receiving it. The Bible says, I have a plan for you. I have a plan for you. And I'm just going to continue to dream on that plan. And I'm asking the congregation at Crosspoint, both in the house and online, to start to do that. Start to dream of the resolution of the patience that God's asking you to do. And I got a feeling you're going to see the resolution. Let's pray over that. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, we will dream and to believe. Father God, let our faith rise up. As we continue to dream and we continue to see what you want us to see. That resolution that we're waiting on, that situation that we're being patient for. Lord God, thank you. Father, let that resolution come quickly as we see it in front of us, as we dream for it, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for what you've taught me on this past several weeks. Lord God, I'm beginning to see it more and more and more than I ever have. Lord God, thank you. I pray that same power in the people here at Crosspoint. Lord God, make us dreamers. Make us dreamers today, Lord God. Let us envision that life, that resolution, Lord. And let that be today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Give him praise today, church. Give him praise. Look to somebody next to you and say, I'm a dreamer today. I'm a dreamer today. Boy, do we have some busy times coming up. I am so appreciative of our Mike Sawgrass doing our announcements today. Mike, thank you so much for bragging on you and your lovely wife for the celebration next week. I asked him to do that, and you know, it's like, I can't do that, you know. Oh, you can do it. Because this is the family of Christ, and we're going to celebrate next week, and I'm going to ask you a special favor. If you would please make sure you find your way to here next week. The assistant superintendent of the Assemblies of God here in the state of Ohio will be with us next week, along with his lovely wife, Krista, to bless and celebrate with us as we do something that churches love to do. We commission people into full-time ministry. Mike and Christine have been doing full-time ministry here for a few months, but we waited until Mike received his ministerial license from the Assemblies of God. That just happened here recently, and so we wanted to wrap that all up in one big celebration day, and we're going to do that next week, and the Ohio Ministry Network will be here with us, and then we're going to do what Pentecostals just love to do. We're going to eat, right? The eating right after, right? So come hungry next week. And then as Mike talked about, you know, we're really excited for the Crosspoint Cruisin', right? I know some of you have these amazing cars. I started tearing our motorcycle apart yesterday afternoon. I had not done that all winter. Boy, that wore me out. I mean, it just, you know, it's all over the garage, right? So I'm starting to clean it and get it ready for the, I've never done it like this before, but I'm going to do it because I'm going to bring it to the Crosspoint Cruisin' and watch my wife tootle around the parking lot. She told me last week she's not going to do that. So, you know, I probably don't want her to do that. I really love my bike, so. I love you too. What a great day in God's house. You know, we're going to have some great temperatures this next week and the weeks to come. We got lots going on in the church. We'll kick everything off here coming into June 1st with our cruise, and it's going to be an exciting summer in God's house. Are you excited for summer? Yes, be excited. Hey, continue to pray for the country of Israel as we did last week. Continue to pray for them. As you know, the scripture teaches us the peace of Israel we pray for, and we will continue to do that. Hey, today is a special day just because there is a conclusion to the Let's Roll series. Now, it's only 3 weeks long. The last one I did was, what, 5 weeks, including Good Friday. It was 6 total messages, but this one's a shorter version of the series. But, you know, we're going from ordinary people to extraordinary people. So I know that some of you are new today. Many people are watching online, and they've not heard the first couple of messages. So let me do a quick review with you, church. Week 1, we talked about moving out. Remember? After the resurrection of Jesus, after Easter, right? The disciples were asked to move out. Going from ordinary people to extraordinary calling. From ordinary to extraordinary. And they all did exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ asked them to do. Move out and start preaching. Start moving into the calling. I'm not going to be with you here any longer, but I have an assignment for you to do. I know you don't think that you could do the extraordinary thing, but he asked them to go out and do it. And Jesus empowered them. And they moved into the extraordinary, right? Just like heaven still asks us to do today. We talked about presenting yourself worthy and available that week. We talked about your willingness to stay in a situation. It's so easy sometimes to leave the situation, but sometimes God calls us just to stay and invest in that situation, right? We talked about that. We talked about being willing to be sent and then willing to go. See, you could be willing to be sent, but not necessarily willing to go, right? Because sometimes we say, God, I'm willing to be sent, but tell me where I have to go before I tell you I'm willing to go. And God says, no, I want you to be willing to be sent and just willing to go. And we talked about that week. We talked about willing to follow the Holy Spirit. We specifically mentioned that because some people are not. That's why the scripture says some were led by the Holy Spirit, because some just weren't willing to do it. We talked about willing to intercede. Jesus said when he left the place of the planet Earth, he left Earth, he said, I'm going to go to the right hand of the Father. I'm going to intercede for you. I am going to be there for you, so he wants us to do the same, right? He wants us to go and intercede for each other in the body of Christ. He wants us to intercede for one another. We talked about that. Last week, we talked about unexpected availability. It goes like this. God doesn't care about your natural ability. He only cares about your availability. If you prove your dependability, he will increase your capability. To stop and just ponder that for a minute this morning, church, you don't have to be super extraordinary for God to use you. And the disciples certainly were not. They were just ordinary, everyday people, just like you and I. But God got a hold of them and empowered them to do something very unexpected. And they made themselves available for the unexpected. They didn't understand what they were walking into, but God continued to empower them. You must make yourself available for the unexpected. You've got to make yourself available for the unexpected, right? It may not be what you want it to be, but it's exactly what God needs it to be. We talked about that last week. We talked about limiting God. We actually can place limits on God. Why? Because God wants us to be available, and we are only available to a certain degree, so we're going to limit God. We're going to go so far, but that's about it. God's asking us to go all the way. Just keep on going. Make yourself available. We talked about that last week. We tend not to see beyond our own natural ability. We don't see beyond our own natural ability. We don't see the unexpected, right? Your availability tends to be the same level of your faith. It's kind of like the same. If your faith is right here, your availability ends up to be right around that same area. Right? I can't do anymore. I'm just an ordinary person. I don't have it in me. God's telling us you don't have to have it in you. You ever wonder why God didn't go select, like, the really gifted people back then to go spread the word, be his disciples? He went and got some pretty rough characters. It's really ordinary people that did extraordinary things, right? An unexpected outcome always comes from your availability. That unexpected always comes from your availability. We're going to make ourselves available on June 1st and invite a whole bunch of people to come in and see some cars and see some motorcycles and do some fun things and hear some really great music. Some really great music. And make ourselves available to minister to the community. We're just going to make ourselves available, right? We'll put together an event. We'll walk in that event. We'll sponsor that event and make ourselves available and bring people into the church here on 25th Street. We'll see what God has, right? Today, I'm going to complete this series called Let's Roll, going from an ordinary person to extraordinary, and the title of my message today, as God has already introduced, is Dreamer. Your pastor is a dreamer, right? What does that mean? We see things. God wants you to see things, and you're going to see things today that I have a feeling you have not seen before. I've got a feeling some of you will walk out of here or turn off your device online today, and you'll start to see things that you have not seen before, because that's exactly what God wants us to do. You'll see things that I want you to see things, right? God wants your availability more than your natural ability. That's the definition of a dreamer. In church, God is looking for dreamers. God is looking for dreamers. Now, you think about dreaming, you're thinking about being awake or asleep or something, right? You know, a lot of times you're dreaming, you're asleep, right? Today, I'm going to do more talking about being awake and dreaming than I am going to be talking about dreaming being asleep. Because it's the dreaming I want to talk to you today about when you're awake. How great would it be, church, if every single night we would go to bed and we would dream a God dream about what was going to happen in our lives the very next day, ordained by God and laid out. So when you woke up the next morning, you're walking in a God-ordained divine dream. That God says, this is your day today. And you lived it every single day. You would be in His will every day. You're doing exactly what He wants you to do every day. So you're going to receive the benefit of everything He wants you to do that day, and then the next day, and then the next day, and then the next day, because God's going to give you that dream every night. He's going to speak to you every single night. How great would that be? Can you live like that? So let's talk a little bit about dreams and visions. Now, dreams and visions are all through the Bible. They kind of cross over sometimes. The dream is like the image, the circumstances that you see, right? The vision is the supernatural piece of that, right? The supernatural piece that God gives us from heaven. But there's some crossover. We talked about sometimes you're asleep, sometimes you're awake, but God speaks that to us. We're starting to see things. That vision, that supernatural appearance that conveys some type of revelation in our lives, right? Bible's filled with that. Now, I don't have all the time this morning to get into all of that, but dreaming is biblical. The Bible is full of people that dreamed. When they were asleep, it's full of people that were given visions while they were awake. And what is God trying to do? He wants them to see things, right? That's the whole purpose of going from extraordinary, or from ordinary, pardon me, to extraordinary, is I want you to see it, to believe it. I want you to see things. Dreaming is certainly biblical. 87 times in the Old Testament, dreaming is mentioned. 87 times. 18 times in the New Testament. Vision is talked about 86 times in the Old Testament, and 17 times in the New Testament. It is almost identical. That's why I said there's so much crossover. But I'm going to take you down the road today, church, about dreaming. God has already started you thinking and dreaming by the tongue message that was given and the interpretation. We're a full gospel Pentecostal church. If it says it in the Bible, we believe it. God poured out His power in Acts chapter 2, and people began to speak in other tongues, and the church was birthed. And then He gave us the gift of tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's a gift. And you heard that gift this morning, and then there's another gift of the interpretation thereof. And so we could understand it in our language. You heard that too. And you began to see things. And I talked to you about dreaming those things that you're waiting for. So I'm praying today, and I have been doing so for quite a long time. I want you to see what I'm going to show you today. Genesis chapter 15, Abraham and God get together and they start to have a conversation. Now, his name's not been changed to Abraham. It's still Abram. For the sake of the message, you'll hear me say Abraham, but it's really Abram, right? And so God is having this conversation with Abram, and this is where the covenant, the relationship, the partnership shows up. God starts to ask Abram to dream. And you want to watch what happens here. Genesis 15:1, it says, sometime later. Now, that means in chapter 14, that's when Abram rescues Lot. If you know the story in the Bible where Lot got captured, that's his relative, right? And he gets captured, and Abram puts together a band of men, and they go and they rescue him. But so the scriptures now moves into chapter 15, says sometime later. So the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, now we got a supernatural dream type thing. Here's what God is going to say. Don't be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you, and I then will reward you for being great. Now, I'm not going to dive into the whole chapter, but what he's saying is, I've got something for you, and I'm going to have a reward. Well, here's the mindset of Abram. He's saying, listen, I know there's a reward there, and God, thank you. However, I don't have a son. And so he starts to envision, he starts to dream what life would be with all this big reward coming from heaven without an heir. And he's dreaming this. He's thinking. He's going through this. You know, I don't have a son. And the scripture will bear that out if you go back and study Genesis 15. And he starts to envision this reward, whatever that's going to be, whatever this partnership, whatever, I don't know what it's going to be, but God's got some reward coming for me, but I don't have an heir. I don't have any kids, right? Genesis 15:5 reads like this. Then the Lord took Abram outside and said, listen, look up at the sky and count those stars if you can, because of course you can't. That's how many descendants you're going to have. You're asking for one. I'm going to give you billions. And before I move to the next scripture, church, I want you to just look at that scripture for a second. And Abram's standing there with God, and there's all these stars. And God's asking him to do something. God is asking Abraham to dream. Do you see it? Do you see it, Abram? You don't see it yet. Can you see a little bit of it? Can you see it? I want you to see it. Because you're asking, you want a son, you want an heir. I'm going to give you all these people. They're going to be billions. Abraham, I need you to dream. And then we move on to Genesis 15:6. And Abraham believed the Lord. He's dreaming. God, if you say it, I'm going to believe it. And the Lord then counted him as righteous because of his faith. Okay, God, I ain't seeing it yet. You're telling me it's not going to be one. It's going to be all this. This is just going to be a lot for me. I'm going to start dreaming for it because I believe you. And then God says, because you're dreaming and because you're believing, I'm counting you as righteous. Do you see it, church? If you don't see it, you're not going to believe it. See, church, you got to start to see it. Whatever God was speaking to us this morning about being patient, having that patience in our lives, there's something there. You've got to start dreaming that you can see that being resolved or whatever it is, resolving itself, right? There's others in the Bible that God spoke in dreams and whatnot. Joseph has got to be the biggest dreamer, right? You know, what is it? Genesis, what, 37 through, what, 50? I mean, Joseph's life and dreams and all that. I'm not getting into that today, but it's just all through God's word, right? And there's many others. Many others. Dreams and visions in the New Testament. Peter, James, John, Matthew 17, Stephen, Acts chapter 7, Paul, Acts 9, Galatians 1, 2 Corinthians 12. I mean, it goes on. So that just tells me it's good then, it's good today. God wants us to dream. He wants you to go from ordinary to extraordinary. He wants you to envision what that looks like. And we're going to do that today. All the great dreams are born in the theater of your mind. They're your golden ladder by which you can climb into heavenly places. John Hagee said that. I get it. I've read a number of his books, and I certainly understand this one today. All great dreams are born in the theater of your mind. How do you see that playing out? With God leading the show, how do you see that playing out in your mind's eye, in your life? They're like that golden ladder that connects you to heaven. What is a dream? It's like this visual prophecy that shows up in your life and gives you this picture of where God's going to take you. And he can give you that picture of what it looks like. And you've got to make yourself available to see it, as I'm going to let you see today. Dreaming has an essential role in developing your faith. God asks people to dream. God asks people to believe. It's going to have an essential role in your faith today. Dreaming certainly has an essential role. You know, many of us know who Pastor Rick Warren is. And, you know, I started looking at some of things. He just wrote a book on dreaming, and I started to read. And I thought, wow, that's really good. I'm going to use that a little bit here this morning. But he says it best. He says, dreaming is really closely related to believing. It's kind of like connected. Because you start to dream it, the more you start to dream it, the more you start to see it. And the more you start to see it, the more you start to believe it. If you're not going to dream it, then you're not going to believe it. You're probably not going to see it before it starts to happen. And then I started looking at my life and say, that's exactly right. The more I dreamed that God was going to come into the situation, the more I started to believe that God was going to show up in that situation. And guess what? The more I saw that he was there in the middle of the situation. And I would dream even more. I would start to dream even more. Dreaming connects my imagination to my faith. I've got a big imagination, right? And dreaming and having that faith starts to make the connections, connecting the dots. Church, you got to imagine it happening. You've got to start to see it. And then you can say, I see it developing. I see it happening, right? Before you believe it, you got to dream it. God is a dreamer. God is a dreamer. I'm going to read to you a scripture that we have read a million times, and we probably have never seen what a big dreamer God is. God is a dreamer. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you think, folks, that just happened? Or do you think at some place in time, if I can say it like that, before he did that, he started to think about it in the mind of God and said, this is what I'm going to do. He started to dream it. And he started seeing what he wanted to do. And then he did it in the beginning. In the beginning, God created. Before God created, God dreamed it. He saw it in his eye. He saw it in his mind's eye. This is what I want it to look like. I don't want this earth to be so close to the sun that it burns up, but I don't want to be so far away that it freezes them all to death. It's got to be perfect. And I'm going to put this planet here, and I'm going to dream this one over here, I'm going to set this thing in motion. It's never going to stop. Let it be so. God's a dreamer. And you're going to see that even more and more as I continue on with this message. He saw it in his mind, so he spoke it into existence. And God placed that inside of all of us. That ability to see that. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image, like us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let's make them like us. God can dream. So he's going to make me and you just like us. And everything in the universe is something God dreamed up, and now that creativity is hardwired into each of us. Why? Because the Bible says he created us in his image. And let me tell you something. God's a big God and he's a big dreamer. Because he says that there's a plan that he's dreaming for my life, me personally. He's got it all dreamed out, all mapped out for me. If I can't dream it into existence, if I can't say I'm going to run that direction, dreaming sets humans apart from every other created being that God created. We can dream. We can envision. I got a feeling a fish can't. But God gave us that creativity, that imagination, to see things. Right? Dreaming is always the first step God uses in the process to change your life for the better. He uses that same process. Everything starts with a dream. It doesn't just happen, folks. You start to see it. God told us this morning, there's many of us waiting and being patient. You got to be patient. You got to be patient for the situation to unfold. You got to be patient. You got to be patient. I got to see it. I got to dream. It's going to resolve. If I didn't have that creativity placed hardwired inside of me by God, if God had not put that inside of me, I would not be able to see it. And you're going to see it today, church. Do you see it yet? What does all this have to do with our spiritual growth? It has everything to do with it. Because that's where our faith lives. Your faith lives with you being able to dream and see it. Right? Dreamers are people with strong faith that can imagine the possibilities of what could happen if they just trusted God a little bit more. If you just trust God, if you could just see it a little bit more, you'll trust God a little bit more. It's kind of like this. Great faith inspires great dreams. Just like your availability is equal with your faith, your dreaming is kind of equal with your faith as well. Because how many times have you heard this phrase, Pastor, I don't see it? Or you say to someone, I don't see it. I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening. You know why? You're not dreaming it. You right away say, I don't see that being resolved in my life. You have just told God he's not involved. Or he won't be involved. Or he can't be involved. You have just relegated yourself to your natural ability and did not make yourself available to dream what God has for you. We stopped. Why? Because we settle in to be an ordinary and don't believe God's going to use us to be extraordinary. And God wants you to dream being extraordinary. And you're going to see that here shortly with the disciples. Dream being extraordinary. Start to learn to be extraordinary. Not because you have the ability, you have the ability to see it. God hardwired that into us, but he now wants you to walk in that. And he's going to hold our hand and take us along, right? Great dreams require great faith. Dreaming, faith, availability, faith. Do you see it? Do you see it? There are things in my life, folks, that I could look back and say, I never saw that, and I can't believe I got there. And there's other things I say, I got there, and I believed it, and I saw it, I dreamed it, and it shows up, right? My faith just grew. My faith just grew. Goes like this. Through faith, dreams become a reality. Nothing happens until dreams, faith starts working together. Nothing happens until dreams and faith start to work together. Dreaming is believing God will deliver before you even see it happen. That is embedded in a scripture that we read all the time, but we kind of like sometimes don't see it. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet dreamed of. Dreamed of. I'm not seeing it. God says, yeah, it's there. Do you see it yet? Do you see it? Here's an example. We say this a lot. I pray that one day my entire family will accept Jesus Christ as Savior. My wife and I, Nicole, we it's all the time. It's like, it kind of like consumes us. We just pray, God, right? What are we doing? We are dreaming that one day our entire family will be saved. Nick, right? We dream that. We just are focused. Now, what would happen if we did not dream it to be so? Oh, hope would be lost. And we dream that. I'll never see it come true if I'm not seeing it in my mind. It'll never come true. Why? Because my faith doesn't believe it can happen. You know, when I was preparing for this message, I started to do some research, and I found some research. And it was just kind of amazing to me. I started reading these studies about dreaming. And people that are the most successful people, now they think, their definition is, I am very successful. Right? So the researchers go out and they find people that say to them, they say, I'm very successful. Whatever the definition of success is, money, whatever, it doesn't make a difference. They just say, I am successful. I don't think it's based on money, but it does. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying they say they're successful, whatever that is, right? And they asked so many people, the more I read, the more I saw, that 100% of them, hundreds and hundreds of people in the study, one thing rose to the surface, the same thing. They said the same thing. I'm a big dreamer. I see it happening. That's kind of amazing. Let me give you a little bit more practical example. For some of you that still are following Walt Disney World, right? Some of you do, some of you don't. I'm not here to say yes or no. I'm just saying that my daughter's a fanatic about Disney. Right? Don't you remember when Disney was great? I mean, with all the cool stuff. But I've been to Walt Disney World in Florida. How many have been to Walt Disney World of Florida, right? Is it not this huge, amazing place? They were dedicating Walt Disney World years ago. And they've got all these executives, right? Now, Walt Disney had passed away. And they got all these executives there for this big dedication. And you go back and read the story, and they're all having this talk, and it's this big dedication, right? And one of the executives says this. It says, I wish Walt Disney would have been alive to see this. The other executive says, he did see it. That's why it's here. Isn't that the truth? He did see it. That's why it's here today. That's why we're here. He saw it. Somebody dreamed it. Right? It's so powerful. The problem is, sometimes we give up on those dreams because they take longer than we anticipated, and it costs us more than we calculated the cost should be. And so we stop. We stop dreaming. And I'm going to tell you here, as we move through this, I'm going to tell you, dreaming has some demands on us. For us to dream it, to believe it, to see it, it's got some demands. It demands something from you and I. Let me tell you what that demand demands: a decision. Jesus has a conversation with Peter, James, John, and Andrew. He says to them, I want you to dream. Matthew 4:19, watch what happens, folks. And he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. We've diagrammed that scripture. We've looked at that scripture so many times. We know that scripture by heart. Many of you have recited it so many times. Come follow me, I will make you fishers of men. What is he really saying? I want you to dream. I want you to dream, and here's the dream. Do you want to be fishermen? Or do you want to be fishers of men? Start dreaming. Start dreaming. Because they were fishermen. He says, you come follow me and you're going to be fishers of men. He never told them at that particular time what that meant. But yet, what did they do? They dreamed it and they followed. Not knowing the outcome. And I got to believe they started the dream. There's another story in the Bible about the rich man. this rich man, very wealthy, comes up to Jesus, says, hey, what do I have to do to get into, have this eternal life thing you talk about? I got lots of stuff here on earth, right? Got lots of stuff. Matthew 19:16 says, just then, the man came up to Jesus, says, hey, teacher, what good things must I do to get eternal life? What do I got to do? I'm wealthy. What do I got to do? Jesus in Matthew 19:21 says, he answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell all your possessions, give them to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. What's he saying to him? We studied that scripture before. Here's another thing he's saying. I want you to dream that the treasures in heaven are much better than the possessions you have on earth right now. That's what he's asking them, folks. Start to dream. I'm not going to show you anything because you got to take a step of faith in that dream to start to believe it, to start to see it. But you got to dream it. I wonder what happened to that guy. I think the scripture says he went away distraught. Dreams demand a denial. Luke 19:23, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. You know, the cross here gets a really bad rap because it kind of makes us feel like there's this thing, this burden that we have to adhere to, this burden that we never get to select, right? But really what Jesus is saying there, right, is you've got to accept me or self. That's what he's saying. It's either me or you. You got to serve somebody. It's got to be me or you. What is it? He's asking them the dream about serving him without really understanding what that means or just staying serving yourself. See, church, today's Christianity is too quick, too casual, too comfortable, too convenient. For some, it's only a compartment, a slot on the Sunday schedule, whatever it may be. It demands more. You want to dream. You want to see that. It demands a little bit more than that. And Jesus is saying, listen, dream me, not just you. You want to be ordinary, dream you. You want to be extraordinary, dream me. Dream me. Thank you, Lord God, that I dreamed you. See, I didn't accept Jesus Christ like that. I dreamed about it. I started seeing it at 9 years old, and then at 20 years old when I came back. I started to see a life. I had a life without him, and I want a life with him. And I started to dream that. Yeah, I see it now, Lord. I see it, right? Dreams demand dedication. Luke 9:26, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes into glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. You got to be dedicated. I'm a dedicated dreamer. You're going to see what a dreamer your pastor is throughout the summer. Hold on. You may say, Pastor, that's too big of a dream. You're going to see what dreaming gives you in very short few weeks or a month or so with your resurrection seed offering. See, you wrote a check or you gave cash into this resurrection seed offering, dreaming that it's going to be sowed in the lives of people that you did not even know. But you did it. See, your pastor set you up. I taught you to dream before I even mentioned dreaming in today's message. And you're dreaming. Now you're starting to believe. And you're starting to see it. And when the screen runs in the weeks and months to come and you see the lives that your resurrection seed offering change, you'll understand dreaming even more. God's a dreamer. God's a dreamer, folks. But just like dreams demand things from us, there are dream killers. See, trust me, folks, the enemy doesn't want you dreaming. Especially God dreams. He doesn't want you dreaming those God dreams. So he's going to come in and rob you of the ability to dream with self-doubt. Self-doubt. What is self-doubt? It's you believing that you're always going to be ordinary. That there's no hope for you. That means God's never involved. Doubt will leave every dream on the table with a list of reasons why you're not good enough. It'll leave the dream on the table saying, you're not good enough for it. And God says the exact opposite. Doubt will kill every dream. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. I can't do it. I can't dream that big. My faith isn't that big, Pastor. I can't go that way. I can't do it. I'm just ordinary. Self-doubt will kill your dream. I'm going to tell you something this morning, folks. God doesn't care about your self-doubt. Because he'll come in there, if you just give him a second, and you dream big, he'll come in there and he'll take your dream and he'll make you believe, and then he'll start to see it. Do you see it yet? Negativity is a dream killer, folks. Negativity is a dream killer. You can't pursue your dreams when you're always hearing the negative. You just can't pursue those dreams when you're always hearing the negative. You hear things like, how can it be done? Why should it be done? There's 101 ways that you're not the person to get it done. Why are you dreaming like that? Because how could it be you? Why are you special? Why does God think you're better than me? It's that negative chatter that we hear. Negativity. You decide you're just ordinary. Therefore, your dream starts to get shut down. When you're hearing it all the time, you're not going to dream it. When people continue to say, you're not good enough, and you start to believe that, you're telling God that he's not big enough. When you're hearing all this negative chatter in your mind, and you're here in your ears, and you're hearing all this church, you're saying, and you're believing it, you're saying, I'm ordinary. And that means God's not extraordinary. Church, you're not ordinary. You are extraordinary. You are extraordinary. Fear is a dream killer. Fear of people, fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of the unknown, fear. Fear's dream killer. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with righteous hand. Isaiah went through a lot of things, as Pastor Mike taught us weeks ago. He was at the top of his game. He was at the bottom. He was depressed. He was hurt. He was on the run. But God never left him, because he was more than just ordinary. Fear will kill your dream. We have to believe more in the power of God that's in us than the fear that seeks to hold you back. Right? Here's the last one. Delay. Delay is a dream killer. Church, I'm going to tell you something. One of the biggest lies you're going to hear is says, I don't have the time. It's a lie. The reality says, I'm not making the time. If God's asking us to dream and go after something, let me tell you something. He's saying, I will help you make the time. I don't have the time to do that. I don't have the time to do that. What we're saying is, I don't have the willingness to figure it out. Psalm 90:12 says, just teach us, Lord, to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We'll figure it out. See, we'll always make time for what's important. Every day that the dream is delayed is one less day that you're living the dream. One less day, you're living it. You delay it one more, you live the dream one less day. Church, everyone will end up somewhere, but only some of you will end up there on purpose. The dreamers will get there. God is looking for dreamers. How do you know? Ephesians 2:10. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we could do good things that he planned for us all along. All along, a long time ago, God dreamed for you. Wrote a script, made a plan, and is waiting for us to dream it, to believe it, to see it, and walk in it. Church, be a dreamer. Be a dreamer. As I wrap up this series today, church, let's be ordinary people who dream of being extraordinary. So I just thought, maybe, as we conclude the series and conclude the day, I asked the worship team to sing Waymaker. Lord, help me find a way. For those of us in the worship center and those watching online, I just think we should come around the altar and we should dream big. While they play Waymaker, God's going to make the way. I want you to come down to the altar and start to dream that situation in your life that you need to break through, that God talked to us about this morning, having patience. We dream it right out. We just dream right out to believe it, to see it, and then to what? To receive it. Church, let's sing Waymaker and come down to the altar and let's just dream big.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving. stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop.
Dreaming it? Are you going to believe it today, church? Are you going to receive it today, church? Before we dismiss, let me pray with you on that dream, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Father God, I pray to come into the throne of the living God on behalf of this church, those in the worship center, those watching online. Lord God, they're dreaming the dream. Let their faith rise up, Lord. You told us to have patience, Lord God, and I pray right now that we continue the dream in the midst of having patience. Lord God, let us see it so we believe it. And Lord God, I pray right now that we receive it. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Give us a praise offering to heaven today. Hallelujah. Now you got to do one last thing. To receive it, you got to raise a hallelujah. Let's sing it out. Raise a hallelujah together to receive it in Jesus' name.
I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm.